White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. Brought new problems for the Australians in the camp. We had clothing trouble. Our shorts were still quite whole, but our sun tops were falling to pieces. Originally, we made them out of curtains, lampshades, and old pieces of rag thrown on the rubbish heap. We managed to keep our shorts looking fairly trim by always folding them and sleeping on them so they had a crease. And I had managed to make a couple of tops from a voile dress, which was called Miss Livingston, after the kind English woman who'd given it to me. But the situation was grim.
Is anyone using the needle?
I am, Trot. I won't be long with it.
Oh, poor thing's getting so blunt, it's hard to get it to go through the stuff.
Well, can I have it after you, Reen, or is anyone else before me?
Well, I'm next, Trot. But you look as if your need is greater than mine. What happens if you let go of the bit you're holding?
Oh, I'm indecent, Jeff.
Have you got a thread?
Yes, thanks, Reen. I pulled one out of the old piece of sheeting.
Oh, heaven knows what we'll use when that bit of old sheeting gives out. There we are. Let's fix it. You know, I'm really wearing a series of darns. There's no material left in this sun top. Here you are, Trot. There's the needle.
Thank you. Oh!
What's happened?
I dropped it.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear, where did it go?
Oh, wait a second. I'll look. It can't have gone far.
Well, it's so rusty, it'd be hard to see. Oh, I am sorry. Is this it?
Oh
no, it's only a splinter of wood. Oh, how infuriating.
Oh, if it's gone, we are in the soup. It's the only one. Oh, where can it have got to?
They roll like mad. It's probably way over here.
What's going on in here? You lost something, or is it a new game?
You all look very comical, crawling about on all floors.
We've lost the needle.
Oh, no. I was just coming to get in line to use it. Where did you lose it?
Well, if we knew that, we wouldn't be looking for it, silly.
Oh, I mean, where did you drop it?
About here.
Well, I bounce like anything. Could be anywhere.
Could be right over here. Oh!
Now what? Shorty, what's up?
Something's bitten me!
Oh, where? What bit you? Oh, this is dreadful. I can't let go of my sun top.
Shorty, stop that noise.
Oh, stop hopping about like that and stand still and let's see.
If you don't keep still, I'll clock you one. Now, where is it?
Oh, it's on my foot. Oh, it's like fire. Oh.
Sit down on the floor and let's see. And for goodness sake, shut up.
Here, get this around her leg as a tourniquet.
Right, now, what is it? Oh, it's my sun top.
Now, keep still, Shorty.
Oh.
I can't see anything. Where is it? On the ball of the foot or...
Oh, it's on the heel.
Well, wait a bit. I'll just... Shorty! Oh, Shorty!
What is it, Jeff?
She's found the needle.
Oh, how clever. Where is it?
There, see? Sticking out of her heel.
Oh, is it broken?
No, safe and sound. Now, hang on, Shorty. I'll borrow Mitz's tweezers and pull it out.
Oh, thank goodness it isn't broken. I don't know what we would have done.
Oh!
Bangkok! Bangkok!
Danko!
Ah, what could be nicer on a wet afternoon than to have to stand in the rain for Tenko?
Not to have to stand in the rain for Tenko.
Oh, dear, I've just dried off.
Well, never mind, Trot. They say that plenty of rainwater is good for the skin.
People pay out good money for mud packs. We get them for nothing. Come on.
Hello, Mrs. Brookhouse.
Lovely weather for ducks, isn't it?
Good afternoon, Sister Shorty. What is this for ducks?
Hello, Mrs. Brookhouse. You look very smart today.
Oh, not smart, Sister Jane.
Yes, you do. You know, it's a joy to see you people at Tenko in the afternoons.
Why is this so?
Well, you always change into a frock and have lipstick on and snappy hairdos. Everything else is so dreary, and we look so drab and woebegone.
Shh. Here comes the guard.
Hattie, Hattie, Homat.
Hattie, Hattie, Homat.
Hattie, Hattie, Homat.
Hattie, Hattie, Homat.
Yo. Oh, Rodlegin. Dutch pig. What have you on your mouth?
Excuse me?
What that red filth on your mouth?
I'm wearing lipstick. That is all?
Stop out. You will not wear lipstick, do you hear? Up your door, I will wipe it off like this.
Swine.
You, Arandigen. Go out back on the Rhine, you Dutch. You. Stand up on your feet. You. Oh, row when I pass. Oh, another where's the filthy mouth.
You hurt, Mrs. Brookhouse.
My lip is cut. It is filthy.
Oh, here, let me help you up.
Oh, be careful, Sister Shorty. If he should see you helping me, it will be bad for you.
He's gone right down the line now. Oh, look at your nice dress, all covered with mud.
Thank you, Sister Jeff. My balls are stiff.
Is she all right?
We put her teeth through her lip, the mongrel.
What's all the fuss? Why did he hit Mrs. Brookhouse?
Because she was wearing lipstick.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
I will go now. Thank you, sisters. I will go back to the house.
Oh, the poor soul.
Oh, he's a snitchy devil, that lipstick Larry.
Who?
Lipstick Larry. That guard.
Really, Shorty, you get the most wonderful names for them. Fifth columnist and now Lipstick Larry.
Oh, let's get back to the house. I put some of our eating bowls out to catch the rain. They ought to be full now.
Oh, good. I could do with a drink of water. Oh, dear. If we only had a little money so we could buy material for Milwali.
Well, you don't want a little money for that. You want a lot.
Dell and Blanche, you've had an order to make a mahjong set.
What do you mean an order?
Our Dutch family want to buy it. Dell said there are quite a lot of people want them, but they take so long to make.
You mean they'll get paid for them?
Well, we're not making them for love, I can tell you. Some of the English women want chess sets and dominoes. So the two girls have quite a business set up.
What can we do to earn an honest penny or two?
Oh, I don't know, Reen. We'll have to think something up soon.
Hello, children.
I have news.
Hello, Mitz.
What's happened, Mitz?
We are to be inspected by a big shot from Sayananto.
Sayananto? Oh, of course, Singapore.
Shh. You know we're not allowed to say Singapore, Jim.
Oh, blow them. It's still Singapore to me. When is this inspection, Mitz?
The day after tomorrow, they say. The guns say boo.
The what?
The guns say boo.
What is it?
It's a very high Jap official.
Oh. Say boo is right. Are you going to bring us some decent rations and some clothing, I wonder?
Oh, don't be silly, dear.
Anyway, we're to clean up the camp.
Well, why us?
I don't know, but we're to cut the grass, tidy the wood heap, smarten up the fireplaces, see the drains are clean, and sweep the road.
Well, really?
And on the day of the inspection, we are not to wear suntops.
What? Well, that counts us out. What are we supposed to wear, may I ask?
Oh, our uniforms, I suppose.
Not on your life. I'm keeping mine to wear home. I'm not ready for any gun goes poo in it.
Nor am I. Well, what do we do?
Wear suntops. Oh, we better have an early night, kids. We have to start at the crack of dawn in the morning.
The next morning dawned hot and sticky, and after a hurried bowl of rice, we all assembled outside to be told which of our duties we had to start on. The rest of the camp was still half asleep.
This is the quietest I've ever known, the camp. It's nice, isn't it?
It must be because it's so early. You can hear the birds. Usually you can only hear the endless chatter of women.
Here comes the guard. Oh, Lord, it's Lipstick Larry. Oh. What bad luck.
What are the rest of the Australian courage?
The other Australian sisters are finishing their meal. They'll be ready to work presently.
They will come now. Get them.
Certainly.
You will start to cut grass.
What with?
Don't ask questions. Cut grass now. Cut others. Go. Monte. Sakui. Come back.
Yes.
You will go more quickly. Now go. Who was it? You and you. Where are you staying? Get working.
Hi, Mitz. You all ready for the big day's work?
Everyone better get a move on and get outside. Lipstick Larry's on duty, and I think he's madder than usual. Our first job is to cut the grass. Come on, kids.
Well, here we are, but we can't all cut the grass. What do we use anyway to cut?
Well, I brought the kitchen knife.
It hasn't got a handle. That's as blunt as can be.
I know, it's all we have. Now, Trot, you take some of the kids and start on the wood heaps. The girls from the other house are going to do the fireplace.
Right you are.
Well, maybe we can tear some of this stuff up.
Yeah. Oh, mind your hands, Jeff. Ouch!
Oh, it's sharper than a knife. It cuts like a razor.
Wow.
Oh, drat it.
Look, you hang on to the tufts of it and I'll saw at it. Oh, gee, you really could ride to Rome on this knife.
I wish you could.
Hey, Miss, Cook wants the knife.
Oh, what for, Lynn?
Well, they thought they'd better get the cabbage and stuff cut up early so we can have a meal about 11. We'll need something to eat by then.
Oh, this is all very awkward.
Well, tell them to wait a bit until we get some of this grass cut. Then they could have it while we gather it up. We'll have to take it in turns.
Right, Jeff.
Got a move on you. Stop talking and cut grass.
If you'd give us something to cut it with, it'd be easier.
I'll give you something or shut your mouth. Oh, work. It's okay, it's okay. Hurry. All right, that's to be done at once.
He is in a hurry.
Cut the wood, move.
Missed my face.
Ah, you stupid dogs. Over here. Come in over here.
So we sawed at the grass and got great blisters for our pains. And Lipstick Larry ran around shouting and bullying. It got unbearably hot, and we knew we would have no rest even in the worst part of the day. We still had the drains to clean and the road to sweep. And we were slow because we were in no condition for this heavy labor. When we were called to Tenko during the day, some of the girls fainted. Heat of the afternoon, Lipstick Larry handed out brooms made of a sort of split bamboo tied together at the top, making a handle that was guaranteed to make first-class blisters. We were set to sweeping the road at 10-minute intervals through 24 hours without a break. At one stage...
What are you roofing for? Keep sweeping! Well, it must be done quickly! It's okay! Hurry! Hurry!
That little monster doesn't stop shouting. I'll scream.
Oh, my back's broken. There's only one good thing to be done with this broom.
What's that, Shorty?
Lock Lipstick Larry over the skull.
Oh, I've got to take a breather. I can't work like this in this heat. If anyone wants me, I'll be sitting there over on that log.
We'll keep Nit and call you if Lipstick Larry heads back this way, Iola.
Thanks, kids. We can take it in turns to have a spell.
Oh, there's Mrs. Brookhouse going over to Iola. And maybe she'll sneak us something to eat or a drink of water.
Well, I haven't got any water. It's off throughout the whole camp, even House 14. Oh, Lord, I never knew this road was so long.
Or so dirty. We've still got the drains to do yet. Oh, I don't know about you, Jeff, but I feel weak in the knees.
You can't do this kind of work on the food we get. Surely they must realize that.
Look out. Here comes Lipstick Larry.
Iola, quick.
You! You, what's the matter? What are you doing?
Oh, what's it look as if she's doing?
Good heavens. He's running at her with fixed bayonets.
Oh, Iola, quick!
I will beat you a study beat to ship when I tell you to work. Come on, cut to Bobby. Sakoi, push it on the desk. And not a dummy ni narimashita. Oye wa!
He's dropped his rifle.
Well, why doesn't Iola run?
Well, she's probably too tired.
Sukanuki!
What on earth's he at now?
Oh, he's knocked Mrs. Brookhouse out of the way. He's grabbed a wooden spoon.
I'll do this!
Oh, look at the mongrel. He's beating Iola with it.
He didn't do this!
Hey, stop it!
Oh, drop it, please!
What's she laughing for? Looks as if he's really beating her up.
He'll knock her eye out in a minute.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, you silly little ape. Stop it!
Oh, run, Iola. Why don't you run?
I can't stop laughing.
Oh, good on her. She's giving him a shove. That's it, Iola. Now run for your life. 2-1-4-1. 2-1-4-1.
Oh. Come on, you little beauty.
Go to it, Iola. We all barracked madly for Iola as she took off down the road with Lipstick Larry flat out after her, waving his wooden spoon in the air and screaming abuse at her. We didn't see Iola for quite a while, but didn't have to worry about her as Lipstick Larry came back and vented his spleen on us by making us work doubly hard. When it got too dark to see, our squad was allowed to go back to our house with the warning that we were to be on the job at dawn next day. Iola came in and told us what had happened.
Oh, what a day. I've never felt so tired in my life.
That's nothing, Wen. You've got another day of it tomorrow. Oh. You passed out at Tenko, didn't you?
Yes. I felt such a fool. It must have been the heat on top of the extra work.
Hello, kids.
Well, if it isn't the spirit of progress.
Are you all in one piece, Iola?
We were getting worried about you. Where have you been?
Keeping out of Lipstick Larry's way. He's gone off duty now, so I'm safe.
Well, what was happening this afternoon? He looked as if he was beating you with an inch of your life with that spoon.
Well, actually, he was so mad that he kept missing me. And the thought of being beaten with a wooden spoon seemed so funny, I just couldn't help laughing. Which, of course, had him fairly gibbering with rage. The more I laughed, the madder he got, and the madder he got, the less he hit me. Poor Mrs. Brookhouse, I thought she was going to die of fright.
Well, it looked as if you were going to have your brains beaten out, and he'd jump up and down on your remains.
Oh, well, all's well that ends well. Good night, kids. I'm going to bed.
Good night, Iola.
Good night, Farlap.
Good night, Elfie.
I'm going to hit the hay myself.
Good night, kids.
The next day, road sweeping started again. It was the big day. We swept and cleaned drains until we were wrecked.
Oh, when the great gun say boo does arrive to inspect us, we'll certainly be a savory bunch to look at.
I think I'll smell like a drain for the rest of my life. If only it would rain, we could wash a bit off.
Oh, don't be silly, Shorty. If it rains, we'll have to start sweeping all over again.
I can't pull this hoe another inch in this ruddy drain. That'll have to do.
It's a fine time for the rations to arrive.
Stop talking! Go on with your work! Street must be swept again!
If I could use you as a broom, old boy, it'd be a pleasure.
You kids, you see what's happened?
No, I only what?
The rations have arrived, and the natives in their usual sweet style have thrown the vegetables, bad bringles, and stinking taugay on the beautifully clean roadway just inside the camp entrance. Oh.
They just left the untidy mess sitting there smelling to high heaven.
The villains. After all the work we put into cleaning that road.
Well, I suppose we'd better get to and move it. Too late. They're here.
Suffering cats. They pulled up right at the heap of rations.
Tango! Tango! Rein up! You are sorry. Turn the line! Tango! Tango!
Come on, kids. You mustn't miss this.
They're depositing themselves within a couple of yards of it.
They're staring at it like fascinated snakes.
There's nothing fascinating about it.
They look as if they're going into a scrum.
Here come the two camp commodores. Whoops! They're stopping on the other side of the rations.
They're glaring at each other like a couple of snarling panthers.
There goes Lipstick Larry to join the scrum. He's even forgotten to count us. Ah, now there's some action. Now that must be the gun save boo with all the medals pinned on with safety pins. And will you get an eyeful of the baggy fat trousers?
His offsides are a motley looking bunch. Look at the one in the shorts.
Hey, the gun save boo has spoken. He's looking our way. Straighten up, kids. We're about to be inspected.
Oh, they better hurry up if they want to see me on my feet. My knees are shaking again.
Here, lean on me till I come over, Wynne.
I think we can all relax. He's taken a quick look from where he is, and I think... Yes, he's getting into the car.
Well, I'm blowed. All that work, all that sweat, all these blisters, my achy back. And all for what? Sweet nothing. But the same again tomorrow.
I wonder, had they any intention of inspecting the camp? Or was he put off by the stink of our vegetables?
He ought to try eating them.
They're too good for him.
Well, what do we do? Can we go, or do we have to stand here all day?
Let's go and see what happens. Lipstick Larry will soon bring us back if we're doing the wrong thing.
We never did find out what the original intention of that inspection was, but the result was precisely nothing. The next event to keep us from being bored stiff was the battle of the bedroom next door. Poor Jean Ashton was trying to keep peace between her family of nurses and a wild Irish family who lived in the house with them.
Can I come in, kids?
Good day, Jean. Come in, make yourself at our house.
Can I come in too, Jeff? Why all this formality, Ioli?
Well, after what we've just been through, I'm scared to go anywhere without asking first.
Why? What's been happening?
It's those wild Irish again. They want to keep changing their room. It's impossible to do anything with them. No one can live with them. They never stop fighting. Like us and our poor Malays. They never stop spitting. Well, at least that's quiet. Look, why don't we all move into one house and put the other odd bods all into the other house?
Ah, that's not a bad idea. Why didn't we think of that before?
Well, I suppose we thought it impossible for 32 people to live in a three-room cottage.
That's right, but it isn't. Both our houses have got 32 in them now.
Well, when Mitz comes back from getting water, let's put it to her as house captain and see what she says.
Well, as our house captain, I heartily agree with the idea. Anything would be better than battling with the wearing of the green.
There'll be fun and games if we do move, and the Malays go in there with the Irish and Dutch. The Malays don't speak anything but Malay.
And the Irish speak pure Gaelic when excited, which is all the time.
When Mitz came back, we talked it over and decided we could all fit into our house. Sleeping space was rationed to 2.5 tiles per person, but even so, it was a relief to be all together. The other people in our house were quite happy to go and live next door, so it was a good arrangement all around. And after a bit of backing and filling, we all shook down, and life went on.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.